Welcome to VI Talk, sharing ideas, information and support. Welcome to Sophia, mum-to-be with her audio blog.
Good afternoon, folks. I think it's a rather blustery Sunday afternoon, I think. Well, prior to last posting a podcast, for those of you who might not be aware, I've actually given birth to Margot now. And she was born 5 weeks premature as a result of preeclampsia and problems with my kidneys. Now, just before I go into how the situation with that arose, I'll briefly recap on pregnancy tips and pregnancy advice, since that's what I said I was going to do on the previous podcast, if my memory serves me correctly. Anyway, first and foremost, signs of pregnancy, with me at least, were tingling in the breasts, feeling a little bit sick, your periods are late, and you generally feel as if you're pregnant, like as if something's in a way changed. So, when you find out you're pregnant, ring your doctor or neurologist, because I had to ring my neurologist because of my epilepsy, and the doctor immediately, so that they could put things in place, and the relevant hospital appointments, and midwife appointments will be made accordingly. If you intend to go on holiday when you're pregnant, notify your airline to get the relevant insurance, because thankfully we did get insurance and it was a good thing that we did. I say thankfully because I actually got a water infection with kidney stones, and that was agony. And we went to the hospital, and it was really tough. It's really agony to wee, but I'm quite prone to water infections anyway. So it wasn't anything new, but I'd never had kidney stones in there before. But you have something new in life quite a bit of the time, don't you? So you have to get used to it, I suppose. Or rather, learn to deal with it. Also, if you intend going on holiday, ask your obstetrician or community midwife or midwife at the hospital or family or friends about the stockings, because if you're flying for a prolonged period, then you're advised to wear stockings to prevent the DVT, deep vein thrombosis, which can be potentially fatal. Deep vein thrombosis is a blood clot in your legs, which can, if left untreated or unmanaged, spread. The clot in your leg can spread to your heart or lungs or brain. So you have to get it treated ASAP. But stockings, which you can wear on the plane, can prevent this, together with walking around quite frequently during the flight to get your blood flow continuously flowing through your legs. Anyway, going on to recent happenings. In about week 28 or 29, I started getting sciatica, which first went into my leg, then went into my knee, and with this, I got a swollen hand and a swollen feet. But on asking the community midwives, we thought it was just pregnancy-related weight, because often in the latter stages of your pregnancy, you can gain quite a bit of weight. So then, this continued. I managed the sciatica with painkillers and around about the 31 or 32nd week, this sciatica had spread to my hip and bum. But we didn't really take much notice, and plus the swelling still hadn't gone down in my feet, and we thought bigger fish to fry, because we were attending antenatal classes and I'd got a hypnobirthing CD which helps to relax you during the birthing process, because I was really hoping for a natural birth. I'd prepared for months for a natural birth, as you Facebookers may have known. I'd asked friends, I'd researched, I'd really done my homework. During the 33rd week, I'd started becoming a little bit breathless, and we just put this down to baby weight. Because during the week 29, when my sciatica was really kicking off, the pain in my leg and knee had started to get very bad, and I'd managed it with painkillers, but we just, as I said previously, put it down to baby weight. And we'd had a good wedding anniversary as well, so we didn't want to let this spoil the wedding anniversary, because Steve had got some belt-in support boots to manage the pain in my knee and leg and hip. So on the 34th week, I'd gone for a scan, because on the 28th week, I'd gone for a third scan and all was great. All was really good with both me and baby. BP was fine. BP stands for blood pressure. BP was fine and protein in urine was fine. On the 34th week, I'd actually weed really, really well, as in there was a lot of wee. But the power in that wee wasn't there. It didn't feel like a healthy wee. So when we took the sample to the hospital during the scanning process, because it's routine for them to test your wee and your blood pressure during the scan process if you see a consultant, and I did see a consultant. And during this appointment, the 34th week scan, the baby was absolutely great. She was moving like the trip, like fantastic, as people say, really, really well, and really growing okay. They thought that she'd weigh £4.4 at the scan, which was their estimation at the 34th week scan, and they said she was around £4.4. However, the protein in my wee was 2+, and I mentioned to the consultant that I did feel quite swollen. So, taking in to account my medical circumstances and history. They said to see them again in 2 weeks for a fifth scan and to do several more checks. Also, during this time, bloods were taken as well, and blood pressure was fine. However, I did a second urine sample at the hospital with several glasses of water, as you do. I've drank some water. But it still remained at two pluses. When my mum tested it at the night time, it had gone down to a trace, and the BP was fine too. It had gone, protein had gone to a trace, and I was quite happy about that. Very happy. But the swelling was still there. It had gone into my legs a bit by this point. During the Wednesday, the day after the 34th week scan, I'd started feeling very breathless and very, very sleepy, and we just thought that something wasn't right. On the Thursday morning, the swelling had got considerably worse. It had gone into my eyes and face, and both of my hands were really puffy, and my feet had ballooned in size, and I genuinely felt really sick and unwell and poorly. And on testing my blood pressure, my mum found it to be 190/210, and She was really, really alarmed because preeclampsia and high blood pressure and kidney problems run in the family. And on testing my wee, it was four pluses because we have home blood pressure monitor and albumin sticks. They're meant to test your wee. That's what the albumin sticks are used for, to test your wee, because I've had kidney problems in the past and Mum's had blood pressure problems and still continues to have them. So we know what we're talking about. So when she got that reading, she insisted I went to bed and she'd go to work for a bit of a time and come back at dinner time to see how things were then, to retest the BP and urine sample. So I got back in bed with a cup of tea and a piece of toast, and Dora on the bed by my feet. However, when Mum returned from work, BP was still a very similar reading and protein was still four pluses. So we rang the hospital, explained the situation. However, a midwife on duty said that, don't use home use kits, i.e. blood pressure monitors or albumin stick test kits, because you could panic. And we don't go by their readings. You have to directly come to us, and you're probably panicking about nothing. However, we knew we wasn't, because something didn't feel right, and also Margot's movements felt considerably less, so we also stressed that point to them as well. So in that case, they told us to come in. So we went in, and it was found that blood pressure was very, very high and protein was four pluses. And I was very anxious at this point because when I was younger, I'd had nephrotic syndrome. That's a kidney disease where your kidneys work back to front. Instead of you losing all your toxins through your wee, you lose all of the protein in your wee, and your toxins still remain in your system, and you have a considerable amount of protein in your wee, plus swelling in your face and hands and tummy. And and puffiness around your eyes as well, and I was really concerned that it had come back, because it's a terrible thing to have. I was very, very poorly with it when I was younger, and I had to be on a cancer drug for several months, and it was a bad time. Anyway, they kept me in overnight and tried to stabilise it with the blood pressure with two drugs called labetalol and diphenhydramine. And diphenhydramine remained longer in the system than labetalol. And I remained in hospital pregnant until the Sunday morning. And during the Saturday night, early hours of Sunday morning, my consultant came to me and said, we've had the blood count results back and it's bad and your kidneys aren't working properly anymore and we think it's best that we deliver the baby, because if you still continue to weigh out protein, it can deprive the child of essential nutrients and it puts your body under more pressure, and your kidneys are struggling to cope and we can't stabilize your blood pressure. And to be honest, I think I already knew that, because I was getting shooting pains in my head and I just generally knew, because I think once you're pregnant, even before the baby is born, you tend to have a mother's instinct already, and I already knew that she had to be born. So on the Sunday morning at 7:30, I posted a hideous picture of me, because by the Sunday I was really, really puffy, and I felt, and I think looked like the elephant woman, because I felt hideous and looked hideous, I bet. So at 7:30 on the Sunday morning, we went to a midwife, because the consultant said that I could have a natural birth, because I really desperately wanted a natural birth. I'd have worked so hard to prepare for one. But during the observation with a midwife, it was found that my blood pressure was reaching dangerous levels, and it was put to me that it wouldn't be advisable for me to have a natural birth because of the pain threshold, because when you're in pain, your emotional response could be really, really calm and good, but your actual body's physical response is for your blood pressure to rise. And I and the medical professionals couldn't take that risk. So, to preserve the health of myself and Margot, I decided to take the doctor's advice and to have a C-section. During the observations and checks with a midwife, I also started having contractions, and while I wasn't actually in labour, the contractions were my body's way of saying that it had had enough. So it was time for Margot to be born anyway. to be honest, I was very, very upset that I couldn't have a natural birth because the midwife had talked quite a bit about the process. I'd have a tampon-like device inserted in me, which contained a hormone, and this would take 24 to 36 hours to work, and during this time, I'd walk around and squat and get in different positions to bring the labour on. Also, they'd connect me to a drip. Also, because Margot was breech, they'd put a little injection in me to relax my muscles so that they could turn Margot manually so that I could have given birth to her. However, my blood pressure wouldn't allow this to be. At 5:30 p.m. on the Sunday, the 21st of June 2015, I was wheeled down to theatre and I was given a choice. I could either be put to sleep, hence not hear Margot cry when she was born, or I could have an epidural. And I opted for an epidural. And it was hell, the epidural. I was covered in drips and wires anyway, because the doctors and anaesthetists found it very, very hard to put drips in me by the Sunday, because my hands and arms were just so swollen, it was very difficult to find a vein. I think they tried once or twice to get the epidural in, because it's essential to find the place that they can put it in safely. However, during the time when the anaesthetist put it in, it felt like an electric shock going straight up my leg, and I jerked back, but I just couldn't help it. It was like, ah! You know, it was really, really intense. It was awful. So the surgeon got to work. They talked me through everything, but during the operation, my body really, really started swelling even more, and I could hardly wee. I was peeing, but I had a catheter in me, but I was really struggling to wee. I could hardly wee, and my blood pressure was really fluctuating. And Stephen heard one doctor say to the surgeon, "This baby's got to be born now," and that must have sounded serious. To me, it's all a bit of a haze, because it was, I can't explain it, to be honest. However, one sound that I do distinctly remember is Margot crying for the first time. It was the most beautiful sound I'd ever heard. Excuse me. And I vaguely remember holding my arms out to her and wanting to hold her to place the briefly on my chest. And I hugged her and I gave her a brief kiss. And then she had to be taken to the special care baby unit because she couldn't control the temperature. But thankfully, she didn't need steroids. I didn't have to have a steroid injection with her because often with premature babies, she was 5 weeks early. Often with preemie babies, they can require steroids to boost their lungs because often they have trouble breathing. I don't really remember much else after that. It's all a bit of a haze. But Stephen watched the cesarean process with interest, I believe. Because the surgeon was stitching up my stomach and it was a very delicate procedure. And then the next thing I clearly remember is mum bathing my face and lips with a cloth, and I was crying for my baby, and I said, "You shouldn't be looking after her. I should be looking after her. I'm a mum. You shouldn't be with strange nurses. She should be with a mum." When I was crying for my baby, a mum was crying. And then the next thing I remember is the nurses are bringing her to me. But a doctor was trying to tell me to please drink a bit more so you're not peeing under your proteins still 4+. But I could hardly drink because it felt as if I was swallowing glass because my throat was so sore. And when I held it, when they finally got Margot stable, she had this horrible feeding tube up her nose and it felt really painful. It felt as if it was dragging on her skin. And it was the best thing in the world when I held her. I gave her a kiss again and I told her I'd be seeing her soon. I think that's what I said anyway. And then on the Monday morning, when I'd slept in a roundabout way, I'd say slept, but really I'd just dozed really because I'd had horrible dreams about babies with feeding tubes and her dying, and it was horrible dreams. I'd said to Stephen on the Monday, about 12 hours after the op, I'm getting up today and I'm seeing our daughter. I'm walking to that unit and I'm seeing our daughter. And he said, "Soph, I don't think you will, sweetheart. You just had a huge operation, darling." I said, "Yes, I am. I'd like you to get me a nurse, and I'm going up to that special care unit to see our daughter. I'd like to get me a nurse, please." And he was quite worried. Steve was quite worried about getting me a nurse, but I was determined to get up. So three nurses actually assisted me to get up. And one of the nurses said that when you first get up after a C-section, that's the worst time that you'll get up. But after that, it should get a little easier as time passes. However, on the first time I got up, I roared in pain. It was agony to get up. I was determined to do it. So with several nurses assisting and Stephen, I managed to get up out of bed. More or less. Twelve hours after the operation and shuffled to the door. Bear in mind I had a catheter as well inside me, and that was quite a cumbersome thing. So they took me down in a wheelchair to see our daughter, and she was beautiful. Thankfully she didn't have to be put in an incubator. But she was in a cot. So this continued, and during the first day, I also started expressing breast milk because I wanted to start as I meant to go on. I thought that was essential. On the Wednesday, 3 days after she was born, I spent a good couple of hours with her because I was walking into this special care unit 2 days after I'd had her, and the nurses actually thought I could have been doing too much, but I felt fine. So on the Wednesday, I'd held her for a fair few hours, and when I'd put her down and turned to leave, Margot actually started crying for me, and I could just tell it was there. So I picked her up out of the cot again with me, that horrible feeding tube. And I rocked her and I said, "Mum, you'll be back soon." And I had to leave her in the special care unit, and I went back up to me. I went back up to my room with somebody sighted guiding me. Because I felt able to walk to the special care unit 3 days after the op. And I took a blanket with me, and I was throwing a blanket. During the afternoon, I started getting a thumping in my back. And I knew instinctively it was a water infection because I'm very prone to them. And on testing my wee, they found it to be a water infection with 2 pluses of protein in my wee. But bearing in mind that on the Tuesday night, bearing in mind on the Tuesday night, it was a really healthy wee I'd produced, and it was negative, which I was really, really happy about. But on the Wednesday, I'd got a water infection. And it shows how quickly it can happen. So I was on more antibiotics and my blood pressure still hadn't stabilised itself, and I had to have Clexane, and I had them bloody horrible stockings that you have to wear to prevent blood clots. I was actually in hospital for 2 weeks because my Margot's weight went quite down. She went from £4.5 at birth to £3.12. That's over 10% of her body weight lost. However, she's regained this now. We came home over 2 weeks ago and we're both really thriving. I've still got to have a checkup with the doctor and I'm still on blood pressure tablets. And my protein level is a lot better now. It's a trace now, which is normal for me. It was also a very, very difficult time in the hospital as well, because other stuff happened which I don't wish to go into. And it was very, very traumatic. I've also requested a kidney scan to find out what went on because of our kidney problems previously. And also with the water infections I've had for a good 10, 11 years on and off. And they can be so painful and uncomfortable, and I want answers, quite frankly. However, at least Margot and I are on the mend now, and thank you so much for your congratulations and words of advice and support, and they all mean a great deal. Anyway, I hope this podcast has been interesting for you to listen to, and I will post more when the time is right. Anyway, I hope you're well, folks, and I'll speak to you all soon. Bye-bye for now.
You can contact us by emailing podcast@vitalk.co.uk, on Facebook by searching for VI Talk, on Twitter @VITalkPodcast, and our website address is www.vitalk.co.uk.